So we're going from the Gemara. From the Gemara, basically, starts getting into the machlokas about between Beisham and Beis Hillel about the shear of Sukkah. Okay? At least that's one way of looking at it, the shear of Sukkah. So it's based on a machlokas. Let's just see the original source of the machlokas is on Chav Chasim and Aleph, the Mishnah. Chav Chasim and Aleph says, Misha Yerosh of Rubo Sukkah v'shecham v'shecham v'shecham. So if your person is sitting, his body and his head and robe of his body inside the sukkah and his table inside the house. Beishamai posel and Beishel mashir. Okay, so Beishamai says it's posel, Beishel says kasher. Amru la'am Beishamai Beishel Beishamai lo kacha yamaisa she'ochu zikne Beishamai zikne Beishel levakas riachna min achornes. Isn't it the case that there was a story where the Zikna, Beisham, and Beisil both came to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achornes? And this exact case happened to be, he was happening sitting, Rosh Rubo inside the Sukkah, and his head in the house, I'm sorry, on the table in the house, and he didn't say anything. So if in fact you maintain, or Beisham is holding that, it's possible, so why didn't anyone say anything? These are the Ziknei Beisham and Zikasila. It must be your Zikanim didn't really hold such a thing. So where are you getting this from? Right? So there seems to be a raya that there's a mistake here. So Amalam Beishamai. Beishamai said back, Misham raya? You think that's a proof? Avheim Amrullah. Him kenny, he's an ugly. You have it wrong. They did say to them, if this is what you're doing, then you were never Makai Mitzvah Sukkah ever. Funny kind of a dialogue there, right? I mean, did they say something or didn't they say something? So here's my proof. No one said anything. And the answer is, no, they did say something. It's a funny, I mean, that it would be nice if at some point in time we could explain that. It's funny like that. Just a funny, it's like it sounds impossible. Yeah. Right. Like, sorry, you weren't listening. They did say something.
You hear what you want to hear.
No? Okay, fine. But that's we've got other more pressing problems than that. Okay. So basically, that's machlokas. So machlokas is something about a sukkah having your Rosh Ruhu in the sukkah on the table outside of the sukkah. Is it good? Is it bad? Okay. We don't know whether the reason why the table is outside of the sukkah because there's no room for the table, or because there is room but you just opt to put the table outside the sukkah. We're not sure about that yet. And that's basically what our Gemara is going to get into. Okay? It's not clear exactly from the Mishnah. I mean, yeah, it's not clear from the Mishnah. Right? It's not clear. I mean, the Gemara is going to show there are opposite implications. Right? There are opposite implications. Because, right, why are there opposite implications? Right, Misha HaYiroshu's implies that if a guy happens to do this, it's not talking about otherwise you should say a sukkah which only fits, right? So that implies that if there's room, but this is just the way he's doing it. But then it says Vishai Posel, Mashim Posel or Kasher is a reference to Chafza, not to whether he's Yotze his mitzvah or not. So right away the Mishnah itself has opposite implications. I mean, is it a machlokas about where there's room in the sukkah but the guy happens to decide to put his table outside? Or is it talking about a sukkah where the mamash doesn't fit? Right? I mean, you don't know from the Mishnah. And that's that's basically where our Gemara's at it. Okay, it's figuring it out. Ends up both. Okay, so let's go to our Gemara. So our Gemara's a Gimel Amar Aleph. Gimel Amar Aleph, and it says, Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. It's funny, because if you look at the Gemara there, the Gemara really doesn't discuss that altogether. Yeah. Completely never discusses that Mishnah, the Machloka. And here is really where the Machloka Gemara discusses it. I mean, I don't know if anyone, maybe they have stars there on the side there. They reference it? Yeah, they reference it. Okay, fine. But basically, I mean, it's a funny kind of thing. I don't know, this Gemara wasn't there. Right? I mean, it doesn't really... Yeah. Doesn't really relate. I mean, we happen to be talking about Rosh Avruba, so hey, why not? You know? It is a little funny, but that's the bottom line. Okay, so Gemara says like this. Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Halach, Tzrich Hashem Achseket Rosh Ruvah V'Shulchana. The halach is that the sukkah must hold Rosh Ruvah V'Shulchana. Okay? Your head, robe of your body, and your table. Okay? By the way, Rosh Ruvah, let's just look, what's this idea of Rosh Ruvah? So Rashi before on Beis Amabez, we read it before, but let's just read it again. Beis Amabez, it's like in the middle of the page, Rosh Avruba. It's the beginning of the line, Rosh Avruba. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right near the back. Rosh Avruba. So he explains what the idea of Rosh Avruba. Derech Sudas and Beis Seba. The way their Sudas were leaning. Al Mitos, on beds. U Mesub Motzad Smola. and they leaned on their left side. They in Oakland is a kufim v'yoshim kamoda. They didn't eat standing, sitting upright, like we do. L'fika chutzach loma roshu v'ruba le'afuke ketana shiruchot u'nechmas b'v'lo shulchana v'lo v'rabo. It's Rosh Hashanah is excluding a sukkah which is small, such that your head fits there and your table fits there, but you don't have rov of you doesn't fit there. Oh, right. No, it only fits your sitting upright at a table. Oh, Rosh Hashanah, and also to exclude if it fits Rosh Hashanah but not your table. So Rosh Hashanah.
Exclude the
Rosh
Hashanah because all it fits
is Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, I guess, but I guess he means Rosh Hashanah. I mean, that's what it means. Yeah, I don't know. Right, but that's what it means. It means Rosh Hashanah means that's to fit you, not sitting upright, but you leaning, so roof of your body, and your table. Okay, so those are three things. Okay? And that's the way they ate. Right? That's the way they sleep.
Funny. It's just so funny.
Saying, so Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak is saying that that's halacha. Halacha, two shemos like Rosh Hashanah. The halacha is that your table, your sukkah must hold Rosh Hashanah. Right? So Amalei Rabbi Abba says to him, to Rosh Hashanah Yitzchak, Kema and Kebeis Shammai? Who, like who? Like Beis Shammai? Are you paskin like Beis Shammai? Rashi. Beis Shammai? Beis Hillel, lo boi Shulchanah. They'll come on Parakei Yosham. Because according to Beis Hillel, you don't demand Shulchanah. So if you were really holding like Beis Hillel, you should have said, Halacha Tzikim Masach, that's Rosh Avruba. But he's saying Rosh Hashanah. But that's really Shitas Beis Shammai that you need Shulchanah. Right? So he's asking, are you passing like Beis Shammai? Right? Are you? That's usually not a good thing. That's not along with the way usually passing. So Omar Lai, Elakiman, what do you want me to passing like? Inachanami? I am. You're right. Okay? That's what he's saying. Yes. I am passing on Beis Shammai. In this case, I'm passing on Beis Shammai. And that's what Tosfos gets from here, as you see in this case, we're passing on Beis Shammai. That's what that's what you get from this whole story. Okay, Ikad Amri, Amr Rabbi Abba, Amr Lechamani. Who said this to you? Who are you going like? Amr Le Beis Shammai. Hello, Tosfos Mina. It's Beis Shammai, and don't move away from it. Okay, and this was a dialogue. Question: how did the dialogue go? Was he questioning, are you going like Beis Shammai? He said, yes, I am. Or he said, who are you going like? And he said, Beis Shammai, and that's the way we passing. Okay? I mean, this isn't what's the difference between those.
Yeah.
But the punchline is that this is like Beis Shammai, and we're passing about Beis Shammai. Okay? That's the punchline, at least from this part of the Gemara. Okay?
Yeah.
Fine. So right away, let's go further. I mean, we still don't know, again, I mean, at this point it seems like it's saying the question is the shear of the sukkah, right? I mean, it sounds like at this point it's saying it's the shear of the sukkah, right? The question is the minimum shear of a sukkah, does it have to hold just Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah and Shulchanah? And that's what it sounds at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what the Gemara was holding at this point. So, the Gemara says like this, Maskev Lev Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mimai, Debei Shammai Shil B'Sukkah Ketana Pligi. How do you know that they're arguing about a sukkah ketana? Okay, sukkah ketana means they're arguing what's the minimum size shear of a sukkah. How do you know that's what they're arguing about? Dolma B'Sukkah Gedola Pligi. Maybe they're arguing about a big sukkah. And the case is talking about where you're sitting at the mouth of the it's a lashon for the sukkah.
Mm-hmm.
It's all that's like shade. So they're sitting at the mouth of the sukkah, and that's what they're talking about, a huge sukkah, but it happens to be you put your table in the house. The Beis Shammai Savri Gazrin Shem Shachach Shulchan, the Beis Hillel Savri Lo Gazrin. And the machlokas is about whether you go there, that the guy is going to follow his table into the house. Alright? What do you deduce from here, by the way? What do you deduce? What's interesting is that no one's suggesting that in a Torah, it would be a problem if you had your table, if you're sitting a big sukkah and you have your table outside. Okay? The only question is whether the Rabbanan word goes there, that you're going to bring your table with you. You know what I mean? Are you going to follow your table? Going to follow your table outside of the sukkah. But it seems that everyone holds that if the shear of the sukkah is big enough to fit Rosh Hashanah Vishulchano, and you happen to decide to put your table outside, it's really kosher, 100%. It's just a question of the Rabbanan. He goes there, the guy's going to follow his table. Go, you know? I mean, that's interesting. I mean, why do you, on the surface, you would have said, no, that's Machlokas, that you have to have your table inside the sukkah or not. You know, but that's.
Maybe he'll say what?
Minatora. Yeah, Yeshiva Sukkah. Yeshiva.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeshiva sukkah. You see, the minimum size of a sukkah is that it has to fit your table, so I'd say it means my table has to be in the sukkah. I mean, it's not a... Certainly has to be explained why that's not why it's... That's apparently not possible.
Why would you say that the table has to be in the sukkah?
Why would you say your sukkah has to be able to be big enough to contain your sukkah, your table?
It has to be a function.
I think that is something we should explain. I think at some point, why the Gemara doesn't... apparently the Gemara, that's not possible. You can't argue about that. At this point, so the Gemara is saying, how do you know they're arguing about a sukkah katana, the shear, the minimum shear of a sukkah, whether it needs shulchanah or not? Maybe they're arguing about a sukkah gedola. Sukkah gedola. And the question is, whether or not, if you're gozer, that you're going to follow your table outside of the sukkah. If you have a big sukkah and you have your table outside, maybe that's what they're arguing about. And the Gemara says, Deganami. And if you look at the Mishnah carefully, it's meduya that you could be medayik that way. Diktani, Misha Hayrosh Ruh Sukh Shukhana Sahabayas, Vishan Pulsum Bisal Mahshirun, Vim Isa Mahsak Vena Mahsakis Mibailai. It should, if you tell that the question is the minimum shear sukkah, it should be if a sukkah holds Rosh Ruh Shukhano, or does it have to hold Rosh Ruh Shukhano, or does it only have to hold Rosh Ruba? But it doesn't say that. It says if a person happens to sit Rosh Rubo in the sukkah and the table outside. So it implies that it's not a question in the shear of the sukkah, but in the person's yeshiva, if he sits this way. Right? That's the implication. Right? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. But are you going to say, Ubisukatana Lopligi? Right? So that, at this point, apparently it's like, fine. Maybe you'll say that. So Machlok is only by Sukkadola. But it says, is it Shuzani telling me that there's no Machlok is about a Sukkatana, right? Tell me there's no machlokes about sukkah katana. Right? Presumably, it would seem at this point everyone would agree that you need a shulchan. Rosh Ruva v'shulchan. The only question the machlokes is if he goes there, if he could fit that, but he has a stable outside. Uh-huh. So, we want to say, sukkah katana, low please. Tell me they're not arguing about sukkah katana. V'yatanya, machzek, it's Rosh Ruva v'shulchan, k'shera. Revi, omer, ashiheva, arba, amos, alarba, amos. Okay, so you have one price, so it says machlokes, Rosh Ruva v'shulchan versus Rabbi holds dollar by dollar. Vitani, the Rabbi Amar Kosak Shema Dal Amos Psula. The Chomam Rafilein Masakis Rosh Ruba Kshera. Right? And the Chachamim, who argue on Rabbi, basically have two brises where you have Chacham arguing on Rabbi. And one Rabbi holds four Amos. In one case, the people who argue on Rabbi say you need Rosh Ruba Vishulchano. In the other case, the Chom who argue on Rabbi is only Rosh Ruba. Right? Vila Shulchano Loktani, it doesn't say Shulchano. So Kashi Nadadi. So which one is it? What are the ones who argue on Rabbi? Do they hold Rosh Ruba Vishulchano or just Rosh Ruba? It must be, that's the machlokas. Machlokas is in the shear whether you need Rosh Rubo Vishulchana or just Rosh Rubo. Right? And that's the machlokas. So you see that they are arguing. They must be that they're arguing about the shear sukkah as well, or maybe only. And in fact, now it's suggesting, this seems the evidence so far was pointing to these brises seem to indicate they're arguing about sukkah katana. In the minimum shear of a sukkah. And he's saying, now that we show this, if you really look more carefully in the Lashon of the Mishnah, really it does seem to indicate this. Midiktani, Beshamay Posel, Beshamay Machshirim. Right, it says, Posel and Kashrim, Vim Isa, Beshamay Lo Yatza, Beshamay Lo Yatza, Mibaylai. If you really were talking about whether or not the person is allowed to sit this way, and it's in his Maisi Yeshiva, so then say, Posel or Kashrim, Lam Yatza or not Yatza. Don't say Posel or Kashrim. Posel or Kashrim sounds like it's Din L'Chavza. Right, so therefore, it's so really the machlokas is about sukkah katana. So it says, "I velakasha misha haya." So it's also why the what about the other part of the Mishnah, which implied that it's talking about a sukkah gedola, which is a person who's sitting in that way. So it says, "Lola matarti pligi." So therefore, you're gonna have to say, really, they're arguing about both. Pligi be sukkah katana or pligi be sukkah gedola? Really, they're arguing sukkah katana and sukkah gedola. But sir, matzah rav alchi tani misha yerosh ruv besukkah v'shachon v'sukkah bayis. So if it's big enough, but he happens to put his table outside, that's machlokes b'yotzei not. V'she'en matzak is elik they rosh ruba bovad b'shamay poslam to b'shel machshiran. But if it only fits rosh ruba, so katana, then there are then that's machlokes b'kasher possible. Okay. Yeah. I was just saying that you could ask: are these two machlokes interdependent or not? Could you possibly get them split, like one b'sham and one b'shel and the other, or vice versa? Or is it one svara that runs through both cases? Or are they two separate points? So, I mean, just on the surface, I mean, you're probably right, Matt. I mean, it would seem the way the Gemara is willing to say they're arguing one and not the other, that they really are two separate questions. But you could say that was Amin, and Maskana really concludes that it's really one big Machlokas. But, I mean, it's not so simple. I mean, it's a big question in the Shona. But in Tosos, just take a quick look at Tosos. He holds that we paskin separate. We paskin like Beis Shammai in the minimum share sukkah. We paskin Beis Hillel on the Rosh Aruba, on the sukkah gedola thing. So, I mean, for the time being, you know, what's my point about that? I mean, we'll learn Tosos when we learn Tosos. But it just, I think it's worthwhile considering them as separate questions. And if we could unify them in some way or other, we'll say. But I mean, for the time being, I wouldn't necessarily be thinking that if you give a star for one, it has to apply to the other. And anyways, on the surface, I mean, they are two separate questions. I mean, on the surface, one's a question in the shear of a sukkah, right? Which is seemingly a deoraisa phenomenon, the shear of a sukkah. And the other one's whether there's a gzera or not. I mean, so presumably those are two completely different things. I mean, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying, don't feel forced. There are two things. How it must be as one machalkas. What's the unification? I'm saying, don't feel forced to get a unification. For the time being, let's consider them as two separate things. Okay, and we'll start with one, and we'll do the other one afterwards. Okay, so for now, let's start with the first one, with the question of a sukkah katana. Okay, the minimum shear of a sukkah, is Rosh Rubo blah. The question is there something else? Is it just Rosh Rubo, or is it Rosh Rubo Vishalchana?
Seems weird the side that says,
So the makes point is on the surface it would seem easier to say Rosh Rubo Vishalchana, because the whole idea is Derek Su Dasan, that you have to, so to speak, contain the guy's Suda, and the guy's Suda is Rosh Rubo Vishalchana. That's the way they used to eat. So you're saying it has to be Rosh Aruba because that's Derech Shulchanam. So then Derech Sudasam, then Shulchan also. That's Derech Sudasam. Right, so why would you limit it to only Rosh Aruba? Good point. Yeah, so someone mentions, maybe you'll say, yeah, but you don't have to have your table. You can do without your table. Yeah, but you can counter back, but you don't have to sit Rosh Aruba either. So apparently the phenomenon of Rosh Aruba is showing you that we're not just picking the minimum amount of space where a guy could eat, but we're picking, so to speak, a luxurious kind of an eating, a derech sudasam, and that's Levi's point, I guess, is that we're picking derech sudasam, a dira. Dira isn't just I take a nash and I sit upright in a tight white. Dira is a certain comfort level or whatever. So that's why you need Rosh Aruba. Well, Rosh Aruba, if you tell me that, then Shulchan also is part of that comfort level. I mean, where are we going to say that a guy's comfortable, he only sits leaning over without a table? But that's not normal. And so once you're going to tell me that you demand the table because of that, you tell me demand Rosh Aruba because you're saying it has to be luxury, then I'll tell you the table as well. And I mean, I think that's the Moshe makes the point is that you see, apparently your yeshiva, you definitely could do a yeshiva, a comfortable yeshiva, with your Rosh Aruba in the table, in the sukkah, and you have a table outside. And I mean, definitely we deduced before, everyone holds Minat Torah, that's 100% good. So apparently, really, you just, in terms of your luxurious thing, you have to be in the sukkah. But there's no halacha that your table has to be in the sukkah. I mean, your table isn't commanded of a sukkah station shivas yom. You're commanded of a sukkah station shivas yom. So you could do a comfortable yeshiva by being Rosh Rubo in the sukkah and have your table outside. So therefore, so why should you really need your table in there? I mean, why are you adding in all these other things? Yeah, so let's say for instance, a restaurant. Okay, say a restaurant is something which houses a comfortable dira experience, something like that. So would you say it's a restaurant that could just house Rosh Aruba but not Shulchan? No, it seems not. It seems a restaurant has to house the full, every element of the meal, so to speak. You know, the meal has the person and has the table, the food, right? So therefore, I'd argue that's more misaber. I mean, why should it be different than a restaurant? I mean, aren't you saying a sukkah has to be makom dira? So makom dira means it could house the minimal, dira experience, or is a meal, let's say. Right? So it could house a meal. So if you're trying to define it as a restaurant, or you're defining it as makom dira, wouldn't you say it has to have, so to speak, both elements of the meal, the person and the table and the food? Right? I mean, why should you focus only on the aspect of the meal, which is the person, but not the other aspect of the meal, which is the table and the food? I mean, it would seem a meal consists of two things, the person and the food. And the makom dira is a makom in which the entire meal could take place, both the person element and the table element, the food element.
That's how you say.
Why should the shir v'sukkah only be focused on the person element of the meal and not on the food element of the meal?
So here's what I'm thinking. That, see, we're saying like this, is that when it comes to a meal,
So if a restaurant, if you're defining a place as a makom dira, as a restaurant, for instance, you'd say it has to contain the meal. Okay, the entire meal. Meal has two components. Meal's component A is the gavra. Okay? Component B is the table, the food, whatever you want to call it. Okay? So there's two components of a meal. So you define a restaurant, the restaurant must contain a meal. There's such a thing as a meal. A meal has two parts, so why should it have, if it only has one part, then half the meal's lacking. I mean, a person without food, without a table, isn't a meal. So the place is defined as a restaurant if it can house a meal, the entire thing. Okay. But if that, but it's interesting to note, and the question is why should sukkah be different? But see, for instance, you notice one thing, is that no one's going to say that in a Torah, and so we were mentioning before, is if I had, if I was sitting with my hat, my Rosh Rubo in the sukkah, and I had my table outside, then I'm not going to be outside. Minat Torah. Everyone holds that's good. So why? I, the meal, so to speak, isn't in the sukkah. But apparently, that doesn't matter. There's no halacha that the meal must be in the sukkah. Apparently, the realm of mitzvos aren't given to meals. Mitzvos are given to gavra. Okay? And so far as the mitzvahs yeshiva besukkah, the mitzvahs yeshiva besukkah means that the gavra is doing his action, his maisa yeshiva, under the roof, the shelter of the sukkah. Okay? And the fact that the food happens to be maybe sheltered by this big solid roof, it makes no difference whatsoever. Because that has nothing to do with it. The mitzvah, the maisa mitzvah, is, so to speak, gavra-centered. You know what I mean? And the maisa mitzvah is, the only question is where is the maisa ha-gavra taking place? You know what I mean? So I'm not just defining where's the meal. You know what I mean? That's nice if you're defining a makom in an abstract. In the abstract, you can say a restaurant, it doesn't care, it doesn't differentiate. A meal has two parts, the person and the food. But insofar as a maisa mitzvah is concerned, the maisa mitzvah is definitely gavra-centered. Okay? And the maisa of the gavra must do his maisa in the sukkah. What's his maisa? His, so far as him, his maisa is his action. The fact that the table is outside doesn't affect it. That's where he's eating. The food, you know, he puts the food in his mouth and he's in the sukkah. Okay. So now the question, so you could argue like this. You could argue that what's a sukkah? A sukkah isn't just a restaurant, a makom dira, okay? A restaurant is something which could house a meal. But a sukkah is something which could house the maisa mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. Right? The maisa dira b'sukkah. Now, since the realm of mitzvos are gavra-centered, okay, insofar as the maisa mitzvah, you see clearly all that's necessary is the Rosh Rubo, okay, or is the person. The table has nothing to do with that. Okay? The table has nothing to do with the maisa mitzvah. So therefore, the shir of a sukkah is that which could house the maisa mitzvah, okay, which is only the gavra, which only cares about the gavra. So therefore, it just has to have the maisa has Rosh Rubo. Okay. That's Vesel's argument. So you'll say to me, what's Beis Shammai's argument? So you'll say, what does Beis Shammai say? So, see, Beis Shammai will say, no. The makom, so to speak, has to be defined as a sukkah. That's a makom dira in the abstract. Okay? Makom dira is something which exists. It's such a thing called a makom dira. Okay? We're calling it a restaurant. But a makom dira is something which is an abstract. Okay, a sukkah is a phenomenon, and the sheer sukkah is based upon that which could house dira, a meal. Okay, it's true that in this context, the reason why we want a sukkah is because the sukkah and the makom dira is going to be used for maisa mitzvahs yeshiva b'sukkah, b'sukkah teshuvas yamim. But Beis Shammai is going to argue that's very nice when you're dealing with a maisa mitzvah. You know, which so to speak comes after the chafza already exists. But the chafza and the shir in the chafza is going to be based upon a universal definition of a makom dira. And a makom dira is a place which could house dira, which dira has two components, both components. Okay? So the question is, when you're making a shir on the sukkah, is the shir that which could house the phenomenon, so so to speak, the universal phenomenon of dira, which includes both both components. It's an abstract thing. A makom dira is a sukkah, is a phenomenon in the world, and a phenomenon in the world is a makom which can house dira. It's a house. It's a whatever you want to call it, but a place which can house dira. And dira has two components. And therefore, you define it. And then afterwards, once you have that place, which can have a dira, it happens to be when you're setting up the world of Maisa and Mitzvah, Maisa and Mitzvah says, all we care about is the gava. We don't care about the chametz itself. We don't care about the food. But that's in the realm of the Maisa and Mitzvah. But insofar as defining the object, it's an object which the Torah has to conceptualize. An object is a dira, a makom dira has two elements. Or do you say that since the chafetza is a chafetza shel mitzvah, which is created for mitzvah sukkah, which is created for the maisa mitzvah, mitzvah sukkah, the shir isn't going to be based upon the universal definitions of what a restaurant would be, but it's a place which can house the maisa mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. And the maisa mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah is limited to the realm of the gavra. So it's a makom which can house the maisa mitzvah of the gavra of yeshiva sukkah, which is Rosh Arubo, and I don't care about Shulchan. Okay, so Moshe asks, he says, let's say, if you're telling me that all we care about is the Maisa Mitzvah, that which could house the Maisa Mitzvah itself, the Maisa Mitzvah itself doesn't demand, it's not an absolute that you have to be leaning, you could do the Yotze, you could be Yotze even if you're just sitting upright. So why don't you say it's just Rosha? Right? Yeah, but see, I'd say first point is that I'd say certainly the Maisa Mitzvah would be lacking. I mean, again, I don't think, there's not Tzama Akev. The mitzvah is dira, and if the method of dira is a personal leans, that's the way dira takes place. We don't do it, but that's the way, back then that's the way it took place. If a person would specifically always not partake of dira, but eat in a quick manner where he's sitting upright and he doesn't get into it, I'd say that does lack in the mitzvah in dira. But my point, I just think anyways, the point is that a sukkah is definitely a place which can house dira. Okay, and dira means a comfortable type of living. Dira, that's what dira means. It's not just a place which could house the action of putting food in your mouth. It's a place which could house dira. And dira is definitely sitting, Rosh Avruba v'Shulchana. That's dira. But the only thing is, in that dira, there are gavra components of that, which is his position, the Gavra's position and his Rosh Avruba insofar as the Maisa Dira is concerned. And then there is the component of that Maisa which is separate from the Gavra, which is the Chafetza. So what the Shita, this Shita is holding is that since its Sukkah is a Makom which could house the Dira, the Mitzvah's Yeshiva B'Sukkah, so we take the component of Dira, which is Gavra focused. But it doesn't mean it's not Dira anymore, it's still Dira, and Dira is the guy sitting in that position. He's just saying, cut the action in half where the gavra stops and where the table begins. But he's agreeing that it's based upon dira, and the idea of dira is a guy who's sitting, Rosh Verubo, not a guy who's sitting straight up.
Rubo is still part of his
mice. Yeah, Rubo is still part of his mice dira. Now, is it good if he sits upright? Yeah, it's good, but the chafta, the thing which could house the mice, which really reflects the idea of dira. And the mice reflects the idea of dira is him sitting, it's him leaning. The table, that's not part of his mice. That has nothing to do with his mice. The table's outside, it's not the mice. In terms of the mice mitzvah, that has nothing to do with it. It's not lacking if his table's outside, because table's not some part of the mice mitzvah.